So I was thinking this morning, because, you know, I've read a lot, I followed a lot, and, you know, it was really kind of, it was hard to process it yesterday, right? First, that we've got a new pope. Second, that he's from the United States of America. Third, he's from Chicago. Like, and he's about our age, John. The guy's 69 years old. I'm 66. You're probably 66 in a day. And it's like, wow, this is amazing, right? So it's kind of hard to process. But this morning, having read and studied a little bit more, I think there's at least 10 reasons why he's a good pick. First thing, I think it's great that they were able to make the pick of a pope within 2 days. Right? That shows, that signals to the world, unity among the cardinals, not a divided church. And that's very important because there's a sense of, especially in the media, they're always saying everybody's divided, everybody's polarized, right? Well, that's not the case if they can come to a conclusion within 48 hours. So I think the first reason he's a good pick, he's been a priest for 43 years, right? That's a lot of pastoral experience. And he's been dedicated to God since he was 18 years old for 51 years through the religious order of St. Augustine, a mendicant order from the Middle Ages. Second reason I think he's a good pick for Pope, he's clearly devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He made two references to Our Lady during his opening remarks. First, he led us in the Hail Mary. That's the only prayer he said. He didn't say the Our Father, glory be, just the Hail Mary, and everybody knows that prayer. And second, he made reference to yesterday's feast day, Our Lady of Pompeii. I didn't know until yesterday that she is the most venerated image in all of Italy. So I put that on my bucket list. I've got to go see Our Lady of Pompeii. So also, the Augustine Religious Order has a special devotion to Our Lady of Good Counsel. And I do have an image of Our Lady of Good Counsel. There's a lot of history to that. And so I think that's a great quality of Pope, that they've got this devotion to the Blessed Mother. Third reason I think he's a good pick is his first words when he came up on the loggia. That's an Italian word for balcony, right? We say balcony, but in Italy it's a loggia, L-O-G-G-I-A. His first words were the words of Jesus, "Peace be with you." Those were the words Jesus spoke the night of the resurrection when he appeared in the upper room. And the apostles were besides themselves with misgivings and probably feeling guilty and probably feeling awkward. And, you know, they realized their own mistakes. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." So he spoke those words of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And then he reminded us we need to be united. So that's his theme. Peace to everyone and unity in the church. So
Father, if I may just jump in for a moment. You know, those words, "peace be with you," a powerful reminder that he's the Pope, the new Pope, but he's also the vicar of Christ and the successor of the Apostle Peter.
And that's why it's important that he speak the words of Jesus Christ. People ask me before the conclave, well, what kind of Pope do we need? Is it just like their first one, Pope, St. Peter? And why was he chosen to be Pope? Because he spoke up. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the good news. I was on one of the TV networks or radio networks yesterday, and they said, so will this Pope be liberal or will this Pope be conservative? I said, yes. He said, what do you mean? I said, it'll be both. If he's Catholic, it'll be both. On some issues, you'll think he's liberal, and other issues, you think he's conservative, right? So the church, it doesn't play to those categories.
You know, yeah, you can't put him in a box. It, just like people tried to put Pope Francis in a box, you couldn't put him in a box either.
Fourth reason I think he's a good pope is because he was a close and trusted collaborator of Pope Francis, and so there's continuity there. He was in charge of a department in the Vatican, they call it dicastery, that's sort of a special term, for choosing bishops around the world, and there have been a lot of good appointees there. Fifth reason I think he makes a great choice for pope, he's got vast experience, right? Not only many years, but he was head of a worldwide religious order, the Augustinians. They have about 2,000 priests all over the world. They're active in the first world. Like one of the guys I lived with went to an Augustinian high school down in San Diego. He met Pope Leo when Pope Leo was just, you know, Father Prevost in the year 2012 before he was a bishop, right? He was at their school. So he's got vast experience. And that religious order, the Augustinians, they are active in first world countries like the United States, San Diego, and Chicago, and in second world countries and in third world countries. Now, I got to be careful when I say this. You want to call Mexico or Peru third world countries. There's aspects of those countries that's very, very sophisticated, up-to-date, technology connected. But there's also parts of the countryside which are truly third world, right, where there are no paved roads, there's no running water, there aren't telecommunications. That's just the case. So that's a great experience.
Something that you know well from your many years in Mexico, spending summers in some of those poor areas.
Exactly. So I can relate to that, because if you only grow up and live in the United States of America, that's your only perspective until you go to places like Africa or India or South America, Central America, and live in the backcountry to see how 70% of the world's population actually lives. You don't have perspective, right? So I remember being in Mexico on one Sunday in a little village. The closest paved road is 45 minutes away, and I show up for Sunday Mass, and it turns out it looks like this is going to be a wedding, right? Because that's their chance, because the priest is there. And I could go into all the technology or the technical terms. Well, you know, I need to have the paperwork. We got to get this and that and the other thing. And I think, you know what? There's going to be a wedding today. We're going to have a wedding. Or you show up in another little village. It's Sunday Mass in the morning, and it turns into a funeral because the child died the night before, right? So, you know, you would never think you'd do that in a suburban parish in the United States of America, because, like, it doesn't follow the rules, and we're really mindful of rules. And there's a point for rules, all right? But I think it gives them a great perspective having served in those situations. And there's a picture of him out there meeting Pope John Paul II. And I just spoke with Sarah, and she told me his official installation will be Sunday, May 18th. You know what that day is?
That is actually, wasn't that the birthday of Pope John Paul II?
Exactly. That's John Paul II.
And that's
birthday,
the day that Cindy and I met Pope Benedict during our honeymoon.
How about
20
that?
Years ago.
All right, so just yet another reason. And then the sixth reason I think he makes a great selection for a pope, he's got language skills. He didn't show off his English yesterday. He didn't need to. Everybody knows he's an American. His Italian is pretty good, and his Spanish is very good. In fact, when he was speaking, I was doing a live translation on air, and I'm thinking, you know, I haven't been to Italy for a long time, but, you know, I understand his Italian very easily. And then I realized he's an American thinking in English, speaking in Italian, and speaking in Spanish. So it's very easy for me to track that, because I'm an American too, thinking in English. So it was very easy. So you get those language skills, also Latin and French, and he's had experience.
And Father, he did speak in English this morning at his first Mass in the Sistine Chapel. And
we
heard a little bit of
that.
It earlier in the show.
This is good. So he's got those language skills, which are important because the Catholic Church is universal. Seventh reason I think he's a good pick for the Pope, he knows the Vatican. He's not an outsider, right? So John Paul II was an outsider. He came from an outside country. And Pope Francis is an outsider. He came from Argentina. Benedict was an insider. And Pope Leo is both an insider and outsider, right? He's lived in Rome when he was the head of the Augustinian order for 10 years or so. And he's been to the Vatican as the head of the dicastery for bishops. So he knows people. That's going to save him years as he builds up his team. He's probably already have friends and people he can rely on. That's helpful. And then three more reasons why I think he's a good pick. The eighth reason is he's the first world missionary. He's a first world missionary, right? So from the United States to the third world. Pope Francis wasn't that. He came from South America, but he was always in Argentina. I mean, he spent some time in Germany studying, but this is a different case. Here's a guy who left a first world country to go to a third world area. That brings great perspective and credibility to what he says. Finally, other reasons I personally think he's a good pick, he seems to be a practical sort of person. He studied math undergrad Villanova.
Right? Villanova.
And he got his doctorate in canon law. Now, I have an appreciation and an esteem and respect for theologians and philosophers, but they tend not to be as practical as people who studied math, play tennis, studied canon law, and grew up on the south side of Chicago. The other thing is, being from the south side of Chicago, and this is my final reason why I think he's a great pick for the Pope, he comes from Chicago. Now, why do I say that? Chicago is sort of the crossroads of our country in terms of transportation and communication. It's been a melting pot of cultures. And the weather's pretty harsh in the winter, all right? So it makes you tough, right? And, you know, so there's a lot of good things going on there.